What's up, everybody? It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about why the best time to start a business is during a downturn. So since publishing Personal Lessons Learned since the 2008 financial crisis, it really brought me back to the time when I first started Financial Samurai in July 2009, and I wanted to use this post and this podcast to figure out why Financial Samurai has survived all these years. And the short answer is that launching during a downturn has a lot to do with it. Since I was 12 years old, I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I witnessed the fabulous lifestyles of those who called the shots instead of those who took orders. I was living in Malaysia at the time, and I remember going to these amazing house parties, always wondering how these folks afforded these beautiful homes and their expensive cars. And the answer was always that they were an entrepreneur. This was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia during the 1980s, and I was smitten. I just didn't know what to invent. Back in 1989, you actually had to create a physical product to make money. Sure, the internet was invented, I think, in 1983, but it wasn't really commercially viable until the early 90s, and besides, I was just still too young. So my entrepreneurial dreams died down after getting a job in finance in 1999. That was okay because I felt like I had won the lottery getting a job in finance, especially since I didn't go to a target school. But only after graduating from business school in 2006, Go Bears, did my desire to start a company reignite. I was emboldened to put all I had learned from my professors to good use. Otherwise, what was the point of going to business school and learning about marketing, operations, entrepreneurship, and so forth? But nothing really happened in 2006 or 2007 or 2008 because I was just so tired. After 3 years of working 60 hours a week while also spending 20 hours a week on business school related activities, all I wanted to do was take a break. I gotta say that I was a terrible, terrible group project person. I was always slacking, and it was just because of the lack of energy. So it really felt like a vacation to only have to work 12 hours a day after graduation. Only until the world started falling apart in 2009 did I finally decide to launch Financial Samurai. It turns out there were other companies that were started back during the depths of the recession too. Names that you might have heard of like Uber, Airbnb, Kickstarter, WhatsApp, and many more. So let me share 5 reasons why I think launching a business during a bad time is easier. The first reason is that you're no longer comfortable doing the same old thing. Really, inertia can be very bad for your health. Whether it's due to fear, disillusionment, or anger, a downturn really motivates you to do something different with your life. When Lehman Brothers finally failed in 2008, I was finally scared for my future. By the summer of 2009, I felt my career was over because the S&P 500 collapsed even further. A year before the 2008 financial crisis hit, I was promoted to vice president. I felt like I was on top of the world as a 28-year-old who had just bought his second property in San Francisco. Why would I even bother to start something on the side when there was so much upside in my career? It was only when I realized I was standing in quicksand that I had to do something different. Went into overdrive thinking of contingency plans in case I was let go. I had already been aggressively investing most of my savings in real estate to generate passive income. But now these investments were failing. Given I lost hope in the stock market and the real estate market, the next logical choice was to go to something completely new. And that choice was starting a personal finance site, something I had been considering since 2006. Back then, I hired a guy from Craigslist for $1,000 to get started. Then I paid him another $500 for design work and more. I clearly remember sitting down with him for a couple hours in my living room to come out with the layout, design, and original Financial Samurai mask logo. And then I went through with him for another 3 hours to have him teach me on how to do all this stuff. It was exhilarating. Today, you can do everything yourself in under an hour for less than $50, and I'm really envious of those who get to start today. 2, you're forced to think more creatively to survive. During the downturn, I had to think of ways to save on my 2 biggest expenses, food and shelter. As a result, I decided to be more proactive in asking work clients out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, maybe sometimes a snack as well. You know, not only would I save money on food thanks to the corporate card, I would use those outings to build stronger relationships in order to win more business down the road. what went from taking out clients once a week on average turned out to around 3 to 4 times a week during the downturn. I mean, hey, we were all miserable and even the clients didn't know how to invest. So we're like, well, let's just hang out. So instead of paying $80 a ticket to go watch the Warriors or the Giants, I invited clients out to it instead. As for saving money on shelter, well, not only did I refinance my mortgage multiple times during the crisis, I also found tenants for my ground floor garden room. These two moves freed up about $2,000 a month in cash flow, which was significant in terms of savings. And regarding Financial Samurai, it became really obvious there was a personal finance hole to fill regarding writing content about making more money through investing. All the largest sites at the time were focused on saving money. Therefore, the opportunity was ripe for someone who worked in finance, got his MBA several years earlier, and loved to write about investing to meet this demand. 3. Making adjustments is easier during a downturn. The bigger you are, the larger you fall. I remember getting my bonus slashed by 50% in 2009, and my boss told me something really funny but annoying at the time. He said, "Sam, you should be lucky you make so little in the first place. I make so much more money than you, and getting my bonus cut, even 30%, hurts so much more." So I was like, really? Really? Thanks a lot. I wasn't happy to hear it, but I understood his logic, but I didn't know whether I'd be able to get to his level because everything was falling apart. So during the last financial crisis, we came as close as ever to catching up to Warren Buffett's wealth, not because we were getting rich, but because he was getting his wealth slaughtered. So now even Warren is poor compared to Jeff Bezos. Because the largest companies have the most to lose, they often become distracted by organizational issues during tough times. While big companies are having constant HR meetings about which department to cut the most, small companies with little to no overhead can nimbly jet ski away from the impending tsunami. Although I didn't see Financial Samurai as a business when I started, by the time I left my job in 2012, I was thinking, okay, maybe I can make a business. I figured I could do well positioning this site as a financial independence, retire early site that focused on living one's best life through wealth creation rather than through frugality. After all, I was only 34 years old when I left work, and I was still hell-bent on growing my net worth after. I wanted to take the harder, but more rewarding route of achieving financial independence. Negotiating a severance versus quitting your job is one such example of taking the harder route that made Financial Samurai unique. Confrontation is hard, which is why most people just quit. But by approaching things differently, Financial Samurai was able to grow. The rise of fintech companies is precisely due to the financial crisis. Large financial institutions became handicapped through overregulation, stubbornly high fees, and legacy businesses that dragged down profitability. 4. Labor is plentiful and cheap during a downturn. The biggest problem CEOs face in the San Francisco Bay Area today is a dearth of talent and expensive labor. Due to the high cost of living on the coast, I am confident there will be a multi-decade migration trend towards the heartland of America. It is absurd that even if you earn $200,000 to $300,000, it's not even close to being enough to buy a median-priced home in San Francisco by yourself. That is unsustainable, folks. It's unsustainable given our country is so large and there are a lot of great places around America that are not on the coasts. When the unemployment rate hit 10% in 2009, you could hire people for half off. You could probably get a horde of people to work for you for free since people were desperate to keep their resumes fresh because, hey, eventually, hopefully things would rebound and they'd be able to get a job. When people are hungry and desperate, great things tend to happen. It goes back to that inertia issue. When you're fat and happy, you don't do anything to change. And then finally, people who are different or think differently have greater opportunity. When things start breaking, people begin to question the status quo. Will what got them there help them get to where they want to go in the future? And more people are like, maybe not. Maybe not. It's easier to become more receptive to new people with new ideas when things are falling apart. Back in 2009, there weren't a lot of minorities with finance backgrounds living in a coastal city like San Francisco or New York writing about personal finance. As a result, it was easier to stand out. All I had to do was not write an article about how to save $10 a month on food and I was good to go. Okay, it wasn't that easy, but you get what I mean. Today, the financial independence community has gotten slightly more diverse. And I'm just saying really slightly, folks. It's a little harder to come up with new takes on timeless subjects. That said, the community is still very, very homogenous. The same people get interviewed by the same big media over and over again because big media is still very homogenous. Everybody looks alike. The same people are getting the same awards. The same people are scratching each other's backs because it's just groupthink. I'd love to see the non-Asian, non-male, non-straight version of Financial Samurai flourish over the next 10 years. I think that's a no-brainer. If nobody decides to fill these holes, I'll figure out a way to do it. But alas, it's hard to break away from groupthink when times are so, so good. The biggest thing you must guard against during good times is complacency. Complacency is why our bellies get bigger the older we get. It's not because our metabolism is so much slower. We're just not moving around and eating well enough. Nobody has the time to work out when it's steak dinners and caviar and champagne every single night, right? Complacency is why some people get financially destroyed during a recession because they weren't staying on top of their finances. They weren't looking at their asset allocation and thinking, maybe I need to take some risk down. They're thinking, hey, the good times will last forever. Complacency is why bad apples are able to join great companies. There's always that one hire. You're like, what the hell? How did you get that job? And the reason is hiring managers didn't bother to screen their candidates like the CIA because there's either a dearth of labor or they think their product is so good that people don't matter as much. But the reality is people can be viruses, can be bombs that blow up organizations. We've seen this time and time again. Complacency is why some folks wake up 10 years from now depressed that their lives are still the same. They just assumed someone would bail them out. That's not going to happen, folks. Take charge. Be very careful about letting a bull market lull you into a state of inactivity, into a state of inertia. Let the big companies with their multi-billion dollar balance sheets stop innovating. Let empire builders try and digest their rivals at record high valuations. We all know that more companies die of indigestion than of starvation. That was something that I think Mr. Hewlett said a long time ago. So the second best time to start a business is when times are good, folks. Like right now. Capital is plentiful, and the propensity for consumers to spend is at its highest. And the valuations, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. Just look at on-demand scooter businesses that have become billion-dollar companies overnight. Please, set aside at least an hour every week to brainstorm. Maybe it's during meditation. Maybe it's during a long bath. Maybe it's during your commute. Work on your business or side hustle before or after work. The X factor is this little rocket that could explode upward and really bring your wealth with you. You don't have to have everything ready to go. Just come up with an imperfect product and keep iterating. Have that website up so you can tinker around. Trust me, folks, nobody is really paying attention in the beginning, but once you start getting some traction, really good things can happen. If the downturn ever hits, you'll be so far ahead of the competition. As for me, I've been working on a couple new initiatives, because when you've got another mouth to feed, it's really hard to slack off. Thanks so much, folks, and keep thinking about those ideas. You won't regret it, and it doesn't cost you a thing.